Tango Tango Papa, 1839, May 15th, 2014.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from near Mesquite, Nevada. Probably about 7 miles south of Mesquite, Nevada. Maybe about 60 miles from Las Vegas. Kind of give or take some mileage, depending on, you know, Las Vegas covers lots of area. So, in any case, there in Colorado, where I spent the night at last night, according to my phone widget, it got down to 9 degrees. And, so at 9 degrees, the truck, the auto start-stop, it was periodically starting up, you know, and running for a little while to maintain, minimum engine temperature. This evening here, when I stopped a while ago, I've been here probably a little over an hour now. I'm actually at there's a truck parking area south of Mesquite that I've parked in here, I don't know, quite a number of times. It's not really a rest area. They have a dumpster, but it's just a large gravel parking area for trucks. So it's a truck parking area, and they've got one on either side of Interstate 15 right here. And so in any case, 80 degrees according to the truck thermometer. So, quite a difference. you're probably wondering, well, you know, I haven't recorded podcasts, very many. I've kind of let time lapse in between, and then all of a sudden you're getting one right after the other, right after the other. And quite frankly, it's because I feel motivated. Now, tonight I was kind of debating, do I want to do one or not, and then in the end I decided I would go ahead and do one. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to talk, but I wanted to get, you know, kind of elaborate a little bit more on the idea of consciousness. Now, if you've been listening to me, I've been talking about this double slit experiment. And you're probably, you know, some of you are probably tired of hearing me talk about it. Well, if you're tired, move on, you know. Because I find it fascinating, and this podcast has always been and always will be, as long as I keep doing it, as long as I'm motivated to do it, it's going to be about what I'm thinking about. You know, what is interesting me? What do I find interesting? What am I thinking about? What do I want to talk about? What do I want to elaborate on? And so I've been, you know, this double slit experiment is fascinating because, in a nutshell, it's been proven over and over again, just by the fact that human beings measure to find out where the electron goes, it sort of collapses the probability wave into a particle, into an electron particle. And then they can measure, oh, it's going through this slit. No, and then it's going through that slit. But otherwise, if they don't measure it, it actually forms an interference pattern on the detector behind the double slits. Now, and what's fascinating about that is that one of the one in this, you know, there's a this interference pattern, there's like 7 different lines instead of just 2 that you would expect 2 lines, but instead the interference pattern indicating it's a wave leaves 7 interference patterns, and one of those interference patterns is in between the 2 double slits. Now, how does that happen?
You
You know, and they're firing, you know, they can fire these electrons out of the electron gun one at a time. And if as long as they don't actually directly measure it to see where it, see, you know, to see which slit it's going through, even though they're doing one at a time, it still ends up over a period of time, it still ends up forming an interference pattern on the detector behind. It's the darndest thing. So just by human beings being aware, measuring human consciousness, consciously measuring to see where the particle is, that is collapsing the probability of where the particle might be. It's collapsing it into, it's in this specific place. Because otherwise it could be anywhere. And within a range, it could be within a range of places. And the proof that it's within a range of places is the interference pattern that's created behind the double slits that the electrons are being fired through. So there's something very profound about consciousness. But it goes beyond just human consciousness. Although the human consciousness is very important, we are made in the image of God. Now, what does that mean to be made in the image of God? Does that mean that God created us to look just like Him? No, the broader definition, you know, when I hear the words, you know, we're made in the image of God, when, you know, human beings were created, man was created in the image of God, I take that to mean, among other things, because we really don't know. How can we ever know our Creator? You know, and I've used the example before. You know, a cup. Let's say you have somebody that takes a clay and form with the end of their hands, and they form a cup out of it. How can the cup ever know the person that molded it? You know, now of course a cup isn't aware, but that's just it's kind of a metaphor. So we're made in the image of God. Now, so what I take that to mean, among other things, that we have this consciousness. He's given us this consciousness because God is, among other things, God is consciousness. And so He's given us, you know, we're sort of like a little chip off the old block. I'm sure, you know, if you probably heard that people say, you know, about their, you know, like somebody has kids, and they'll say, oh, that's a chip off the old block. Well, we're, in a sense, we're sort of like a chip off the old block, meaning that we have this consciousness. And so when you pray, you know, people say they pray and so on and so forth. What do you really want? You know, of course, people pray for frivolous things. They pray for cars, and they pray for this, and they pray for that. And they, you know, pray for, you know, an easy life and so on and so forth. And, you know, so on, varying degrees of different things. What do you really want? When it comes right down to brass tacks, what do you want? Don't you want God to be aware of you? Isn't that what you really want? Isn't that what you really want, is your Creator to be aware of you? And if so, why would you want God to be aware of you? Because in a sense, if we're separated from our Creator, in a very real sense, we're sort of like a particle that's sort of a probability wave. So if, you know, the idea is that if God becomes aware of you, you sort of collapse from the part of the wave function sort of collapses and you become a person. You know, you sort of collapse out of all the different possibilities and you end up with an identity. You end up with a source. And isn't a guilty conscience sort of like you're running away from, you know, you run away from the guilty conscience? Isn't that sort of like you're running away from God's awareness? Trying to drive a wedge between yourself and that awareness? How is it that a conscience, you know, you have this, you know, you think this conscience was programmed by society and so on and so forth, and your parents and whatever else, and you got your hang-ups and so on and so forth. How is it that that can have such a profound effect on you that you spend your life running away from it? You spend your life trying to rationalize it away. Do you really want, do you understand what it means? You know, you say you believe in God and so on and so forth. Do you understand what that really means? Because when it comes right down to it, if you want, you know, you believe in God and so on and so forth, don't you want God to be aware of you? Don't you want your Creator to be conscious of you as His creation? But that requires you to stop running away. So it's actually, these are very simple concepts. We're the ones who make everything complicated. So I had that thought. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit and sort of flesh the idea out in my own mind. But in a very real sense, what we want if you're really looking for your Creator, what you're really looking for is for your Creator to be aware of you. So, In any case, so I'm playing with, I got this camera app for the phone. I got, you know, it's a light version, and what is it? It's, I'll have to, well, let me reach up here and grab. I'm gonna have to lay the microphone down, so you're gonna get a little bit of noise. Be right back. Okay, so there we go. I reached up there and grabbed the phone. Let's see, what is the name of this app? Okay, it is Camera FV-5 Light. And what this app does, it gives complete manual control. It's still got the automatic modes, but it will also give you complete manual control over things like f-stop and shutter speed, so on and so forth, exposure values, and it will let you actually play with it. And so I'm thinking of probably, I may go ahead and just, I'm not sure how much the full version costs. It's probably, it can't be very much. So I'm thinking about getting the full version of that. But I've also, I looked in the past, there are, you can go on Amazon.com, and for most smartphones, including the Note 3, you can get these lenses. And, you know, the one I was looking at, there's several different versions of it, but the what I was looking at, it's actually a case that comes with a little tripod and several lenses. One of them's a tele. Okay, we had a little audio engine overload right there, and I happened to see it when it happened. So in any case, it comes with a little telephoto lens and that has a tripod mount in it. And the idea is you snap the camera into this case, and then you can screw the lenses onto the case. And so I think it would be fun to experiment. You know, it's not going to make it into a DSLR, obviously, but I think it would be fun to experiment. It's always fun to take something that is, a phone is not a smartphone. They've been improving the cameras dramatically, but it's not a DSLR, and it's not even because of the lenses, the size of the thing, and the tiny lenses that they have to use. It's not really, as good as a lot of point and shoots are, but it's fun to experiment and, you know, with something lesser and try to see how far you can push it. And I don't even bother, for some time now, I don't even bother anymore carrying. I used to carry my video camera and the Nikon DSLR with me. And it's really kind of stupid because most pictures I'm taking are with phone. And that's been true for a long time, so there's really no point in carrying those extra cameras around, because I'm not using them. They're kind of too big and clunky. So the kit that I'm looking at, you can get it on Amazon Prime for about $57. And so I'm thinking seriously about getting that, and I think it would, just be fun to sort of casually experiment with, along with this app that gives greater, it gives, basically full manual control of the different parameters. And so it'd be interesting to see how far it would be possible to push a camera. And of course these cameras are sort of like little self-contained. They're just little tiny things that they put in the phone, that they mount in the phones. It would be interesting to see how far those can be pushed from an image standpoint, from a quality standpoint. And of course the weakest link with these phones on mobile devices is the lens. The lenses, that's the weakest part. So I think I'm going to get one of those next time I go home. So Anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. I just wanted to kind of talk about that idea a little bit, explore it a little bit more, because it is about consciousness in a very real sense. We as human beings are, our experience revolves around being conscious, and, you know, conscious of what is right and what is wrong and so on and so forth. But ultimately, we want our Creator to be conscious of us. Unless, of course, we're trying to play God, in which case, that's the last thing we want, is that the pressure of, and it's sort of like a pressure, that God's, you know, God being conscious of us is sort of like a pressure. And in fact, because we're sort of like a little chip off the old block, when we're conscious of each other, it's a pressure. Thus, try to screw people's perceptions, screw their perceptions around, so that you know everybody agrees that wrong is right and right is wrong. Why should you get upset if I, badmouth abortion? If I say abortion is wrong, why should you become upset about that? If I say that shacking up is wrong, why should you become upset about that? If I say that, extramarital sex is wrong, if stepping out on your husband is wrong, stepping out on your wife is wrong, why should you get upset about that? If I say that if you really love your kids, you wouldn't send them to public school, why would you get upset about that? Why would you get upset about that? I'm just an uneducated truck driver with no credentials. Why would that be upsetting? Because there's consciousness involved. That's why. Consciousness is a very, very powerful thing. And again, that's why we should learn to be in the moment, to live our lives, to sort of live our existence in the moment, to be aware in the moment, and not caught up in thought and so on and so forth. So, in any case, I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.